Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. It is July 9th, one day before my birthday. What does that mean? The weekly recap here. All of the top stories in one convenient location for your viewing pleasure. I hope you enjoy it. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk. Let's give an example of why love triangles can be deadly. Remember that Texas yoga teacher, Caitlin Armstrong? Well, she's been charged with first-degree murder of the professional cyclist, Anna Mariah, or Mo, Wilson. Now, Armstrong, who was arrested in Costa Rica on June 29th, was booked into the Travis County Jail in Austin, Texas, Tuesday after being transferred from the Harris County Jail in nearby Houston. Now, jail records show that Armstrong has been charged with unarmed first-degree felony and a Class B misdemeanor charge of theft of services equal to a greater than $100 and less than $750 related to the May 11th shooting of Wilson, according to the records. Now, Armstrong is being held on a $3.5 million bond, which obviously she has not been able to make. So after 43 days on the run, Armstrong was arrested by United States Marshals in a hostel in Costa Rica. Now, Armstrong had altered her appearance, dyeing her shoulder-length hair dark brown. She was also wearing a bandage on her nose. The area under her eyes was bruised from a reported surfing accident. There's been a report that she was in possession of a receipt for plastic surgery to alter her identity, obviously, further. Armstrong fled the United States last month with a fake passport, and a witness who watched Armstrong's arrest reported that Armstrong left behind a passport with her sister Christine's name on it. Now, authorities have alleged that Ms. Wilson briefly dated Armstrong's boyfriend, Colin Strickland, last fall while the couple was separated. Now, though Armstrong and Strickland, a professional cyclist, reconciled, he remained friendly with Wilson, and the two went swimming together before the shooting. Wilson was in Austin to compete in Gravel Locus, a 150-mile race through Texas, when she was found bleeding and unconscious from multiple gunshot wounds inside a residence in East Austin. So here's a couple of observations. First, love triangles can become deadly because someone will undoubtedly become jealous. Now, Caitlin Armstrong was obviously the jealous one. And why was she jealous of Anna Wilson? Well, Wilson and Colin Strickland dated when Armstrong and Strickland were separated. Sure, they apparently kept close, but that is the boyfriend's fault. That's Strickland. Okay, but now we have a situation where Armstrong's life will probably be spent behind bars. Why? For this Colin Strickland, who agreed to see his old fling? Strickland should not have done this. Little dating advice. If you are broken up and you are with someone else, you don't go back and talk to your exes. All that is you're looking for a quick hookup whenever it's convenient. And if you're looking for a hookup, the relationship you are supposedly in is probably over, and because you're out looking to be with somebody else. Bottom line. Now, also, my hat is off to Costa Rica. Why? For speeding up the process for Strickland to be returned to the United States. Also, my hat is off to the country of Costa Rica. Why? For speeding up the process for Armstrong to be returned to the United States. The U.S. did not extradite her back to the United States. That could have taken months or years, because Costa Rica would not have sent her back if she faced the death penalty, which is an option on a murder after deliberation case. What did Costa Rica do? They deported her for an illegal entry using false documents that she used to enter the country. Nice move, Costa Rica. Saved everybody a lot of time and energy. Ms. Armstrong has retained two attorneys, a Richard Kofer and Naomi Howard. We wish them the best of luck in that case. Don't blame me. That's what the father says of the 4th of July shooter. So the father of the accused 4th of July parade killer told reporters Wednesday that his son talked about a mass shooting in Denmark the night before allegedly launching his own massacre, and his dad has washed his hands of any guilt over how his son gain possession of these firearms. Well, the father, Robert Cremo Jr., has tapped Steven Greenberg, one of R. Kelly's lawyer, to battle claims that he helped his son get these firearms. He said that the night before Monday's shooting, he and his son, Robert Cremo III, discussed the 22-year-old Danish man who shot and killed three people at a mall outside Copenhagen on Sunday. The father says, he goes, "Yeah, that guy's an idiot. That's what he said." The dad recalls his son saying of the Denmark shooter. The father said his son added, "People like that commit mass shootings to amp up the people that want to ban all guns." The dad says, "I talked to him 13 hours before Monday's massacre. That's why I guess I'm in total shock," he says, stating he must have had a psychiatric break or something. Now, the father, a one-time local mayoral candidate who used to run a neighborhood sandwich shop, has faced a wave of criticism for sponsoring his son's gun license application, which allowed Cremo III to buy four guns, including his alleged weapon that he used for the massacre. Now, the dad sponsored the application 3 months after his son was labeled a clear and present danger by authorities for threatening to kill relatives in 2019. That incident led police to confiscate a sword and some daggers and basically 15 knives from Cremo III, the son, according to the dad. The father states he decided to sponsor his son's firearms ownership identification card, which allowed the young man to buy the rifle used in the attack because he thought Cremo III was going to use the weapon to go to the shooting range. He bought everything on his own and they're registered to him. The dad said it's his son's weapon. The incidents, which led to briefly confiscating the sword and dagger and 15 knives from the shooter's home, was just a childish outburst, according to the dad, and the knives were just a collection, citing the fact that, well, when he was younger, he collected baseball cards. Now, while the father says he is supportive of his son and will continue attending all of his court hearings, he's absolutely furious over the tragedy. He says that he wants his son to get a very long sentence. Oh, and that he will. He says he wants his son to get life. You know, you have consequences for your actions, he stated. He made a choice. He didn't have to do that. I think there's some mental illness there. Obviously, I didn't see a lot of it, according to the father. And he insists that his son's crimes were not motivated by hate and noted that a relative of one of his lifelong friends was injured in the shooting. So we'll see how that plays out. I can't imagine the family's going to be charged when the kid gives all the right answers. What are you supposed to do? So it's a tragedy, no doubt. I don't think the parents should be charged. It's not like he said, "Hey, Dad, I'm going to go do my own little massacre here on the 4th of July. You want to help?" No, he didn't do that. He kept it a secret. You wouldn't be charged. No one should be charged if they didn't know what was actually going to take place. Looking back, hindsight 2020 is not enough to charge somebody. All right. Remember, if you can't watch us, you can always listen to us on all of your favorite podcasting apps, including Audible, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Just search Crime Talk. Like many Americans, we got a dog during the pandemic. My quarantine dog, Miss Winnie the Bulldog. Now, Miss Winnie has grown accustomed to being around us all the time. When we were leaving the house, Winnie would have extreme anxiety, so we decided to look for natural products to help with her anxiety. We looked for the highest quality CBD treats, and we were not satisfied, and neither was Winnie. So we created a high quality CBD product that absorbs faster and provides the required results faster. Baked in Colorado, CBD treats and beverage enhancers are made with nanotechnology. The nanotechnology makes the CBD extraction more pure, also allows for Baked in Colorado products to work faster. Baked in Colorado products can help reduce your pet's anxiety, ease joint pain, and help with your dog's skin problems. Go to our online store and see what Baked in Colorado product is best for your dog. When you order at bakedincolorado.com, enter code Winnie and receive 15% off your first order. We have a 30-day money-back guarantee. If your dog does not experience the desired results in 30 days, return the product and we will refund your money. No questions asked. All right, let's go ahead and open the record for July 7th of 2022. The word of the day in the Lori Vallow matter is denied. Remember, John Pryor filed a couple of motions way back in March asking Judge Boyce to disqualify the Madison County prosecuting attorney, Rob Wood, from representing the state of Idaho in the case against his client, Chad Daybell. Now, the motions were filed under seal, so it's not exactly known why Mr. Pryor made the request. But let me refresh your memory. Do you remember early on in the case? That's right. Lori Vallow's attorney, Mark Means, filed motions to disqualify Mr. Wood, saying that he had intimidated and tampered with essential witnesses in the case. We had the audio. We listened to the audio together. And, well, there was nothing there that I thought was inappropriate on the part of Mr. Wood. Now, Mr. Means had this idea that that was witness tampering. Well, Pryor kind of went along with it because they already did this, and I understand he filed the motion. This is a death penalty case. He needs to file every motion that he can file in an attempt, in good faith motion, to litigate issues to preserve on appeal, assuming his client will be convicted. Now, like we've talked about, all these motions are filed under seal, and I'm not exactly sure why. Normally, something is filed under seal if there's a minor involved, if there's an allegation of some sort of sexual assault, or if there is some sort of document that's being attached that may have some personal identifying information. I don't know, like your social security number, your medical records, and those can be suppressed under the electronic filing system. So once again, I am complaining. I do not understand why everything is filed under seal in this particular case. There's nothing that I can possibly think of that is going to offend the people of Idaho that Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell are not going to get a fair trial. Now, additionally, the district attorney filed a motion to disqualify Rachel Smith. As you may recall, she was basically hired by the state of Idaho to assist in a death penalty case because she had death penalty experience. And she wasn't admitted into Idaho, so she was admitted under what is the term pro hoc vice admission, because she's technically, or is it, not just technically, she is licensed in the state of Missouri. And what that means is that an attorney in the state where she's being admitted will basically supervise her, be familiar with the facts and the law, etc., but it allows them a limited license to practice law in the state, usually for a case-by-case basis. Once again, these issues were already ruled upon, and I just don't understand what the basis would be to try and disqualify her as the prosecutor in this particular case. Well, needless to say, the judge denied both of the motions to disqualify the prosecutors. And as I stated, we have a right to know and see what is being filed in these cases. There's nothing that is so secretive, nor can I anticipate that would affect the fair administration of justice in either way. Frankly, though, I think both sides like this in this particular case, because then they don't have to, well, face criticism or praise from either side or commentary that's going on in this particular case. Now, as I stated, usually in death penalty litigation, there are a flurry of motions filed. I mean, from challenging the death penalty statutes at issue, arguing that it's cruel and unusual punishment, violates due process, you name it. And most litigators would basically file motions that have been filed in other death penalty cases to preserve those issues on appeal. And from what we can tell, and who knows, because everything's being sealed, we don't know if any of those motions are in fact being filed. But it'd be nice to know if they were, because one of the issues, obviously, if there's a conviction, will be the effective assistance of counsel. And the issue would be, did they engage in the appropriate motions practice to defend their clients? Mr. Pryor also filed an additional motion wanting to basically get a list of all of the cases where Ms. Smith has participated in any death penalty cases, either in Missouri or anywhere else. Now, that was denied. And why the prosecutor would have to turn that over, what relevance there is, I don't know. But that's just something that the defense would investigate on their own. To have to ask the court for that and then be denied, I mean, what the court should have said was, well, denied, which is what the court said. But that's something the defense has to do on their own. prosecution's not entitled to turn that over. So the word of the day is denied. You don't get a list of cases where Ms. Smith has been a prosecutor in death penalty cases. And guess what? You get the prosecutors that you got, and they're going to stick around.